I'd like to call this meeting of the House Resources Committee to order. It is April 5th, 2024. We are in Capitol Room 124. Present today, we have Representative Mears, Representative Armstrong, Representative Dibert, Representative McCabe, Representative Sadler, Representative Wright, and myself, Chairman Tom McKay. We have a quorum to do business. I'd like to thank staff, Zach, Justin, and Rose for helping us today. And remind everyone to please put your cell phones on silent. We have four items on today's agenda. I will not spend a lot of time describing them, but basically House Bill 394, 393, 388, and 359. We will begin with House Bill 394, which relates to the RCA regulation of natural gas storage. I bring the bill before the committee. This is a House Resources Committee bill, and I will ask my staff, Trevor Jepson, to come forward. And we will also have Division of Oil and Gas Director Derek Nottingham, from the DNR, Chairman Doyle from the RCA, and AOGCC Commissioner Brett Huber on the line for any questions. So, Zach, do I have those three gentlemen on the line? Okay, yeah, or by, okay, that's for another, a different bill. Okay, and Mr. Jepson is here, so we will now take up amendments on House Bill 394. We did receive four amendments, and I believe they're all from Representative Mears. Representative Mears, thank you for your amendments, and I would like to go through each one and do our best to discuss them, debate them, and try to clear up, you know, any differences we may have. So, let's start with Amendment 1, Representative Mears.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment 1, also labeled U.1.
Okay, and I'll object for the purposes of discussion. Representative Mears, please describe your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment deals with the section of the bill talking about a required confidentiality in this new regulation for gas storage units. This section of the bill is moot since the RCA already has the ability and does regularly make documents confidential in their processes. I believe that adding this in the bill and make it statutorily required that everything involved with this be confidential takes tools away from the RCA and their ability to provide public service.
Okay, thank you, Representative Mears. Chief of Staff Jepson, do you have a response to those comments?
For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to Chair McKay. This morning we talked with Chairman Doyle with the RCA and brought up this talk and see if they had any concerns about giving immunity, or excuse me, about protecting these financial records from the offset as compared to the petition process for confidentiality that Representative Mears discussed, and they don't have any major issues with it. And what they're mainly focused on is crafting a bill that will, or not crafting, having a piece of legislation that will allow adequate storage to be available. The RCA commissioner told us this morning that they don't have any major concerns with it, if this is what's going to get the private sector to engage in third-party gas storage. Thank you, Chairman Kay.
I was going to ask Chairman Doyle if he'd like to answer that question in his own words. Mr. Doyle, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Through the chair, this is Robert Doyle from the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. And we basically support this bill. We believe it's a new normal to have gas shortages. We do believe it's important, if not imperative, for us to have as a part of the solution here, a gas storage. If this is what is required to get additional storage and additional, industry to participate, I think that we can work around that. We do currently have, Representative Mears talked about, we do have a process now where people petition, but if and then we handle that through, if there might be any damage to the utility or the industry, we have a way to protect that with non-disclosure. We have a way to protect that during our hearings. We still have access to the information that we need to make our decision and our deliberations on that. So I don't believe that this legislation would hamstring us in any way. But as we move forward, I think everybody's going to need to take a look at some new new processes and some new procedures so that we can get more storage. And I think the bottom line is trying to get more storage for the ratepayers. Thank you.
So can I ask Commissioner Doyle, do you support Amendment 1 or do you not support Amendment 1?
I do not believe we need Amendment 1. I believe that the language in the proposed legislation, even though it does change the way and add an additional layer of confidentiality, I believe that in the public interest, getting more adequacy, more gas supply, more storage, I think we can sort through that under the current language in the proposed legislation. It's a matter of public policy for the legislature to make that decision.
Okay, thank you, Chairman Doyle. Representative McCabe had a question.
Thank you. I don't really have a question. It's more of a comment. Let's kind of be honest here. This regulation or this bill is designed to get us more access to natural gas storage. It is not designed to get us access to Hilcorp's financial regulations or financial finances, frankly. And regardless of whether it's Hilcorp or another private company that is not public and does not want their finances to be made public, it will exclude them. So this amendment is exclusionary language, or it's designed to get at Hilcorp's financials. And I cannot oppose this any more than I do right now.
Okay, thank you, Representative McCabe. I'll remove. Are there any further questions or comments on Amendment 1? I was going to remove my objection and see if there was an objection to
yes,
not adopting it.
Object.
Yeah. Okay, so I removed my objection. There's been an objection. So we need to vote, but Representative Mears, why don't you wrap up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will make this brief. So in looking at this bill and enshrining in statute additional layers of secrecy for a industry that needs more transparency is problematic to me. There are already mechanisms in place within the RCA to protect the confidentiality procedures that are used regularly and at the discretion of the RCA. I believe we should not provide additional confidentiality above and beyond what we do with our other utilities.
So I should point out to Representative Mears that S-Corp companies are protected by law to have their financial information kept confidential. It's not like optional. They're protected by law. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chair, pardon me. I do oppose this amendment. The current bill before us says that the Regulatory Commission may disclose information to other, to federal authorities if it's necessary for RCA to do its duty. This strips out that confidentiality provision, and I think it's inappropriate. It's related to, this. What is the information is related to finances of a storage facility, LNG storage facility, or utility. And utilities are already public, regulated, and a lot of their information is already available to the public. LNG storage and gas storage facilities may be private organizations. And while the term transparency it's a great head of, who's against transparency? Well, competitive businesses might be against transparency when their competitors knowing the details of their finances and their loan portfolio, their leverage, and so forth and so on. So, again, I think the information can be disclosed to the people that need it most, the regulatory agency that regulates it, in service of the public good. We entrust the public good to the RCA in many areas. So not everything has to be public to everybody. So I think what we heard from the commissioner is that there are confidentiality provisions already. So I think stripping these out is not necessary. So I will oppose the amendment.
Okay. Are we ready for the question? There's been an objection. So, Justin, can you please call the roll on Amendment 1?
Representative Wright.
No.
Representative Armstrong.
Yes.
Representative Mears.
Yes.
Representative Dimer.
Yes.
Representative McKay.
No.
Representative Baker is absent. Representative Rauscher is absent. Representative Sadler.
No.
And Chair McKay.
No.
Four nays, three yeas.
So on a vote of four nays and three yeas, Amendment 1 has failed to be adopted. Now we will move to Amendment 2. Representative Mears, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment Number 2, also labeled U.2.
Jack, aye.
Okay, Representative Mears, please describe your Amendment 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We did just get the presentation of this bill to us on Wednesday, and one of the things that was brought up in invited testimony is that there could be a number of circumstances in which imported LNG are brought into the state and how the facilities would be used. So this amendment removes the carve out for the RCA overseeing what might be overseen by FERC, FERC. The concern here is that with the various scenarios, FERC doesn't always provide oversight for rate setting, that it often provides more of a role similar to AOGCC in the permitting of the facility, saying that it's safe and it can be there, and it's much more structural and project related. And what we're looking at from the RCA is rate protection. So we haven't had too much time to look into this. This is a concern. From what we've been researching, it doesn't feel I don't believe at this time that this is appropriate because we might be leaving parts of our supply chain from regulation. Thank you.
Okay. Chief of Staff, Mr. Jepson, would you like to respond to that, to those comments?
For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to Chair McKay. I spoke to Representative Muir's staffers this morning, so we're very understanding of what the concern is, in the sense that there might be some situations where FERC doesn't regulate an import LNG facility, and if the RCA was removed as a regulator as well, then nobody would be regulating it. However, we did do a little bit of research into this, and I have a little bit of a legal memo, if you will, if I may read that, Chair McKay.
Please proceed.
The Nikiski LNG import terminal would be subject to the exclusive jurisdiction of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission under the Natural Gas Act. State regulation of those facilities is preempted by federal law. The Natural Gas Act has long been recognized as a comprehensive scheme of federal regulation of all wholesale of natural gas and interstate commerce, which confers upon for exclusive jurisdiction over the transportation and sale of natural gas and interstate commerce for resale. Where state regulation affects ability of FERC to regulate comprehensively of the transportation, storage, and sale of natural gas to achieve uniformity, which was an objective of the Natural Gas Act, or presents the prospect of interference with federal regulatory power, the state law has been preempted. FERC has total jurisdiction over the subject, and this amendment just clarifies that, so there's no confusion. In any scenario where gas was imported, transported, stored, or sold, FERC would have regulatory powers over all those actions. Thank you, Chair McKay.
So am I to understand that the Amendment 2 is just dilatory or redundant and not necessary?
Chair McKay, I wouldn't classify it as dilatory or redundant. I would classify it more as just unnecessary. The FERC has regulation over all this, over all these activities, okay. So there would be no unregulated activity.
Okay, Chairman Doyle, could you comment on the discussion and let us please advise us if you support or oppose Amendment 2?
Based upon the FERC exemptions, I'm not aware of it. I would oppose it. I don't believe that the RCA should be regulating. I think that carve-out is appropriate.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Representative Mears, in wrap-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe my point was actually made there that if there is an overlap, that FERC gets jurisdiction and has primacy. So the carve-out in the bill is unnecessary.
Mr. Jepson?
For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff, and Chair McKay, we don't see it as unnecessary. We believe it should be in statute. Thank you.
All right, do we need to take a vote? Is there an objection?
Yes.
Okay, Justin, can you please call the roll on Amendment 2?
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Wright.
No.
Representative Armstrong.
Yes.
Representative Mears.
Yes.
Representative Diver.
Yes.
Representative McCabe.
No.
Representative Baker absent. Representative Rogers absent. And Chair McKay.
No.
Four nays, three yays.
So on a vote of four nays and three yays, Amendment 2 has not been adopted. Let's move to Amendment 3. Representative Mears.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be moving Amendment number 3.
Okay. Amendment 3 has been withdrawn.
Drawn.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Amendment 4, Representative Mears, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment number 4, also labeled U.4.
Object.
There's been an objection. Representative Mears, please describe Amendment 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment 4 is in regard to fair market value. Fair market value is described in other sections of the code for the RCA. And there's a concerning bit about this. The language specifically is that the fair market value of oil and gas fields, it's not relating to the equipment, which was usually considered, and infrastructure, which was usually considered in like depreciation schedules and so forth. Fair market value of oil and gas fields fluctuates very regularly and can change drastically and shouldn't be included in that calculation. So this amendment removes those sections regarding fair market value because they're already covered within RCA regulations.
Okay. Mr. Jepson, can you please comment?
For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to Chair McKay. The fair market value language was added in there to try and signal to the private sector that they're not just going to be told what their assets are worth. There is going to be an evaluation process, and it's not just going to be based solely on when did you spend the money and how much did you spend. Because there's constant upgrades to a lot of these facilities, and if we want the private sector to engage in gas storage, we have to signal to them that they're going to be treated fairly. And there would be a little subjectivity in determining a fair market value as no sale is taking place, but we believe that that is appropriate. We also discussed this morning with Chairman Doyle, and I would also invite him to comment on the RCA's thoughts. Thank you, Chairman Kay.
So, Chairman Doyle, can you please comment on Amendment 4, and please let us know if you support Amendment 4 or oppose Amendment 4.
This is Chairman Doyle through the chair. Basically, the discussion we had this morning was about market value and trying to sit down and talk about the lack of supply, the shortages that we're facing, and the need for the public interest to have adequacy. So basically, I think things are going to slowly move from affordability to adequacy. We need to keep those pilot lights on. Given that, I think there's going to be a new normal, and we're going to have to take a look at new procedures and processes. Fair market value is one of those new things. As you've talked about, there isn't in a fair market value, the price of the asset is based upon selling something on the open market. We've always taken a look at when something new is being invested, the date of the investment, the cost of the asset, and what's known and known is, and how it's prudently been put into the system. So as we take a look at those things, market value is going to change that. I think we can handle that. If that's the public policy of the legislature, we will carry it out. We will make sure that it's done in a prudent and in a just and a fair manner. But I do think to get more storage, we're going to have to take a look at this. And so I would be opposed to removing that as a consideration because I do believe in some of these older fields, you're going to have to sit down and take a look at what our legacy costs. What's been depreciated, how much has it been depreciated, and it's going to be treated a little bit differently, and we're going to have to come up with a system of how that's happening, because if there may not be a new asset and a new acquisition cost for us to sit down and take a look at. So I think we're going to have to make some adjustments, and we can do that. If that's the policy that the legislature wants us to do, we will do it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Doyle. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to oppose this amendment. Absent the language that this amendment we proposed to delete, there's a risk that the value for the assets might be set at the start of a contract potentially and never adjusted. And it seems to me that fair market value is kind of what should be the basis for these costs, which, again, must be recovered probably under long-term contracts by the pipelines, which are going to be under RCA regulation. I'm just concerned that this would leave it a situation where the value would be frozen, and with the fluctuating price of gas and oil and assets, it might unfairly lock things in and distort the fair basis for the RCA setting recoverable costs.
Okay, thank you, Rep. Sadler. Any other comments or questions? So, wrap up, Representative Mears, sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mr. Chair. I think the commissioner touched on it, that they are already considering capital investments when you're investing in something that is already considered in fair market value. These are already things that are considered in fair market value under other utilities that the RCA is regulating. There's no need to have that in the bill.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? All right. I assume there's an objection, so we will take a roll call vote. Object, Rep. McCabe?
Yes.
Okay, Justin, can you call the roll on Amendment 4, please?
Representative Baker, absent. Representative Rauscher, absent. Representative Sadler?
No.
Representative Wright?
No.
Representative Armstrong?
Yes.
Representative Mears?
Yes.
Representative Diver?
Yes.
Representative McCabe?
No.
And Chair McCabe?
No.
4 nays, 3 yays.
So on a vote of 4 nays and 3 yays, Amendment 4 has not been adopted by the committee. So those are all the amendments we have. And I will now enter with Representative Rauscher absent. I will ask Representative McCabe to make a motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to report House Bill 394, Work Order 33-LS1441/Uniform from the Resources Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 394 is reported. Committee substitute House Bill 394, Resources, is reported from the Resources Committee with individual recommendations in the attached fiscal note. Take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. I'm sorry, Representative Sadler, did you? Okay. Okay, back on the record, House Resources, I want to restate the motion that was approved for the previous bill. It's House Bill 394, Resources, is reported from the Resources Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Okay, thank you, everyone. Now we move to House Bill 393, which is Cook Inlet and Middle Earth Gas Royalties. I bring the bill back before the committee. This is a House Resources Committee bill. I will ask my staff, Trevor Jepson, to come up, put his name on the record, and we will also have Derek Donningham from the DNR on the line as well for any last questions from members. We did receive three amendments for consideration. So, the first amendment, Representative Mears.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment one, also labeled R1.
Okay, and I'll object for the purposes of discussion. So, Representative Mears, please describe your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number one puts a sunset on the royalty relief. The previous royalty relief bill we discussed had a somewhat soft sunset, but there was a sunset in there. This allows us to revisit the program in 10 years. That's about how long we're looking at on our timeline for production at this point and where we have projections out to. I think it's very reasonable that instead of locking the legislature and the state into no royalties from Cook Inlet forever, that we revisit the issue in a decade.
Okay, thank you, Representative Mears. Mr. Jepson, do you have comments on that?
For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to Chair McKay. No comments at this time. I believe that would be the will of the committee if they'd like to look at a sunset clause, potentially. Yeah, that's all, Chair McKay. Thank you.
All right. Representative Sam.
Thank you, Chair. In my read on this amendment, I know there's a long lead time for investments and a big upfront capital expense, and it's amazing how quick the clock ticks. If you set a 10-year sunset, we're going to immediately begin eating up time, and for every month that goes by, the incentive for someone to make the investment to produce the gas we're looking for, based somewhat, I hope, on the royalty reduction from this act, is going to be reduced. So, I think we will have the opportunity, or future legislatures will have the opportunity, to a cork off or to cut off or to sunset this in the future if and when we see it's being effective. But my concern is that putting a hard sunset in this royalty reduction scheme would tend to immediately begin to erode its value. So I think it's kind of contrary to the spirit, so I'm going to oppose it.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other Representative Armstrong?
Thank you, Chair McKay. I would like to make a conceptual amendment.
Okay.
Page 1, line 15, replace 2035 with 2045.
Okay, so you're proposing Representative Armstrong, so that we all are clear on the amendment, line 15, you would like that to say 2045.
Yes, Chair McKay.
So you've added 10 years. Okay. Any comments on the conceptual amendment? Hearing no objections, I think that how that works is if there's no objections, is the conceptual amendment has been accepted. Thank you, Representative Armstrong. Any further comments on Amendment 1? Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Actually, not just to the chair, I guess. It adds 10 more years, so that's doubling it, and that seems like a long time away. My same arguments would still apply. Certainly, it would be my hope that royalty reduction would begin to have results soon, and certainly by 2045, I've got a bit of a philosophical concern about it, but... I'm not going to be around in 2045, so I might be a little bit more willing to consider this. So I'm going to keep my powder dry and think about it in the 2 minutes I have left. Thanks.
If I may comment, gas wells, they decline pretty rapidly. So the opportunity to tax them and gather royalties from gas wells is doesn't last very long. So in 20 years, the gas well is probably going to be shut in or sidetracked or something else is going to happen. So I guess it's a little bit moot, I think, in an engineering world. But Representative Armstrong.
I was just going to speak to it to give Representative Sadler a little more time to think. So many of these bills have been phrased to us about the current urgent crisis. And so I think that a 2045 sunset is reasonable because that's 20 years away. And I believe that future legislatures can easily extend that if we find that we need it. But I think that it also gives assurances to the public that we aren't using the crisis as a reason to do some kind of indefinite fix and instead are putting, I think, a reasonable cap. And if 20 years doesn't feel like enough, I think something, it is really important to have a sunset. I'd be happy to offer another conceptual amendment, but I do think that it is important that there is something there. So thank you for letting me speak to that.
Thank you, Representative Armstrong. I'll see you 10 and raise you 10. Representative Jepson, final comments. Mr. Jepson, sorry.
For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to Chair McKay. I would just say when we talk about a sunset clause on the bill is crafted, and the reason why the royalty rate is zero and all this is because this is all Alaskan gas. And any gas or any tax or any royalty on this gas is just passed through to the consumer. So the point of the bill is that we shouldn't be taxing gas that's just going to be passed through as a pass-through cost to Alaskans. Potentially, it should always be royalty-free to have the cheapest gas possible for citizens. Thank you, Chair McKay.
Okay. Representative Armstrong.
Sorry, thank you, Chair McKay. Through the chair, one last comment that I would make is that the bill is no longer just gas. It also includes oil royalties. And so I think that that brings in, I understand why we are doing that to incentivize, but I do think because this also impacts oil and we don't currently have an oil crisis in our state, that the sunset makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, final comment, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the ample time provided to me by my colleagues' discussion, I've considered this, and I think I'm going to oppose the amendment for the same reasons I opposed the previous one. There is a long lead time for investment. The opportunity will exist for future legislatures to choke off that royalty. However, I want to say something in response to what Mr. Jepson said. I will not say that there's no royalty. That's our ownership share of the subsurface resources. And at times of low oil prices and low production tax under our current regime, royalty is where we kind of cover our fixed costs. And so this bill is in response to a critical situation in Rail Belt and Cook Inlet. So I think it justifies royalty reduction for the time being, not forever, but I'm going to leave it to the intelligence and wisdom of future legislators to make that decision. Although, okay. If I see another conceptual amendment, who knows?
I don't, to be perfectly honest, I don't really see what difference it makes. So I thought for the good of the order, I may support the amendment. So is there any other comments or questions? All right. Justin, please call the roll on Amendment 1.
Amendment.
No.
Mr. Chair? Yeah. Pardon me. I hate to interrupt a vote. Did you say Amendment 1 or Amendment 1 as amended? I didn't hear that.
I better excuse me. Let's start over. I should have said Amendment 1 as amended. Beg your pardon. Thank you. Thank you, sir. So please proceed, Justin.
Representative McKay.
No.
Representative Baker Pappas. Representative Rauscher Pappas. Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Wright.
No.
Representative Armstrong.
Yes.
Representative Mears.
Yes.
Representative Diver.
Yes.
And Chair McKay.
No.
Four nays, three yeas.
So on a vote of four nays and three yeas, Amendment 1 has not been adopted. Okay, Amendment 2. Representative Mears, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment 2, also labeled R.2.
Okay. Object for discussion.
Object for discussion. Representative Mears, please describe your amendment, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've already established today that I have a very different perspective on transparency and accountability for Alaska and our resources. When we are looking very specifically at Cook Inlet gas, we have, I've had discussions with one of those smaller operators who has been very open about being willing to share their financials. And if we're going to talk very specifically about the largest operator there, they operate in Texas where there is fiscal transparency and accountability. Adding that in here puts them on par with some of their other business enterprises in other parts of the United States. I don't think that we should be treating their businesses here any different in Alaska than we have in other oil and gas producing states. Thank you.
Mr. Jepson, please comment.
For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to Chair McKay. Chair McKay, I believe you've seen this amendment before and you've summed it up rather well about why this is not necessary or needed. So I'll leave that to you.
Well, the issue here is there's four gas storage facilities in Cook Inlet. One of them is operated by CINGSA, and then the other three are operated by Hilcorp. If we are to pass legislation requiring Hilcorp to expose their financial records...
Chairman Kay, so I believe you might be reading comments for HB 394. My apologies.
Briefities. Okay, we're back on the record, House Resources. I think that we've discussed the issue with forcing S-Corp corporations that operate in Alaska to reveal their competitive financial information and how damaging that could be to current and future operations in Cook Inlet and on the North Slope. So I would recommend a no vote on Amendment 2, Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Chair McKay. So I might comment a little bit further. As we knew that Hilcorp was this kind of corporation when we essentially invited them in here 10 years ago. In fact, we invited them with open arms and said, please come do business with the state of Alaska. And we understood the limitations of them reporting their financials as an S-Corp, and yet we invited them in. And so now we are, once again, trying to change the game with an oil company, which we have done so many times in the last four or five decades, and it's no wonder that oil companies shy away from Alaska because we continually change the playing field and change the game on them. So I'll be a no vote on this. Thanks.
Any further discussion on Amendment 2? Who objected? Okay, do you maintain your objection?
I do.
All right, Justin, can you please call the roll on Amendment 2?
Representative Diver.
Yes.
Representative McCabe.
No.
Representative Bader, absent. Representative Rauscher, absent. Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Rice.
No.
Representative Armstrong.
Yes.
Representative Mears.
Yes.
Chair McCabe.
No.
Board.
So on a vote of four nays and three yeas, Amendment 2 has not been adopted by the committee. Let's move to Amendment 3. Representative Mears, please present Amendment 3.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment number 3, also labeled R.3.
Object.
Okay, there's been an objection, and Representative Mears, please describe Amendment 3.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number 3, we have discussed in this committee before on the previous royalty relief bill, and it is more colloquially known as closing the S-Corp loophole. There has been discussion over the last decade about the difference in Hilcorp coming in and taking over BP's assets and the lack of income to the state of Alaska with that change. Again, referring to their operations in Texas, they pay income tax. They pay taxes down, corporate income taxes down there, in a way that is not happening here in Alaska. We are looking at the budget hitting the floor on Monday and looking at our state's financials. We need to, from time to time, look at our income in relation to our needs as a state. It has been a decade since the last time we really looked at our oil and gas tax structure, and it is not working for Alaska. We are looking at the needs of our state. We are looking at our permanent fund dividend program getting ever more shrunk. And we need to be looking at the revenue that we are getting from our oil and gas industry. This is one way that we need to look at to do that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Representative Mears. And I probably couldn't disagree more strongly. I don't know what you're looking at as far as your analysis, but the reason the permanent fund dividends are decreasing is because of our unsustainable level of government spending. If you know, the production on the North Slope has actually been increasing. We've got new fields opening up precisely because we have not messed with the tax structure in 10 years. So tax stability, tax certainty is vital to long-term industry investment. And if we're going to open up these kinds of discussions and statewide oil tax discussions, that's a completely different ball of wax. So Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I could not have said it better myself, so I'll say it the same in different words. I would dispute as well that our tax structure, a stable tax structure the past decade, is failing Alaska. On the contrary, I believe it is benefiting Alaska, and this amendment would undo that progress. We've seen the reduction curve of production from Prudhoe and Kuparuk and Alpine decline. The production has held steady. We've seen investment decisions by Conoco and Santos, Willow and Pico, respectively. We've got more people exploring. We have challenges, that's true, but I don't think that imposing a tax on Hillcorp, which is, again, we invited them in. We are fortunate to have a company whose expertise is in taking semi-mature fields and squeezing more oil and gas out of them. It's beneficial to the state to have them here, and I'm concerned that imposing this tax as proposed this amendment would express to them that we don't value them and that they should leave just like others have left. So, no.
Furthermore, this bill is aimed at Cook Inlet, not the North Slope. And, we are very lucky that Hillcorp came and rescued Cook Inlet. I would guess that Cook Inlet could be shut in by now. And it would be not a good situation. And I don't need to describe why. But, all right, is there any further comments on Amendment 3? All right, who had the objection?
I did.
Okay, do you maintain your objection? All right, Justin, can you please call the roll on Amendment 3?
Representative Mears.
Yes.
Representative Dyer.
Yes.
Representative McKay.
No.
Representative Rauscher is absent. Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Ray.
No.
Representative Armstrong.
Yes.
Chair McKay.
No.
Four nays, three yeas.
So on a vote of four nays and three yeas, Amendment 3 has failed to be adopted by the committee. And that completes all the amendments that I have for House Bill 393. So, Representative McCabe, would you like to make a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to report House Bill 393, Work Order 33-LS1006/Romeo from the Resources Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Objection. There has been an objection by Representative Mears. Justin, would you please call the roll on the motion made by Vice Chair by Representative McCabe?
Representative Armstrong.
No.
Representative Mears.
No.
Representative Diver.
No.
Representative McKay.
Yes.
Representative Baker absent. Representative Rauscher absent. Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Representative Ray.
Yes.
And Chair McKay.
Yes.
Four yeas, three nays.
So on a vote of four yeas and three nays, House Bill 393 Resources is reported from the Resources Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Thank you. Okay, we're back on the record here at House Resources today. We now move to House Bill 388, which is Cook Inlet Reserve-Based Lending. We bring the bill back before the committee. This is a House Resources Committee bill. I have one amendment for consideration proposed by myself, Representative McKay. Wow.
Too close.
Freudian slip.
I really apologize. That was really bad. Representative McCabe, would you make a motion, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment 1.
And I'll object for discussion purposes. Mr. Jepson, can you describe Amendment 1 for us?
For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to Chair McKay. Amendment 1 is just an amendment that acknowledges the importance of titles. And we believe that an act relating to ADA was a little bit too broad. So it's going to be changed to relating to the Alaska Industrial Development Export or the creation of subsidies by the subsidiaries by the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, just to tighten the language up. Thank you, Chair McKay.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on Amendment 1? Seeing none, do you maintain your objection, Representative McCabe?
You made it.
I did. I removed my objection.
Oh, you mixed it.
Is there any further objection? Hearing none, Amendment 1 is adopted. Thank you. So we now have an amended CS to move out. Representative McCabe, do you have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move to report House Bill 388, Work Order 33-LS1237/Romeo, as amended from the Resources Committee.
Excuse me. All right, back on the record, House Resources. Representative McCabe, would you please restate your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A little bit louder and a little bit worse. I move to report House Bill 388, Work Order 33-LS1237/Romeo, as amended from the Resources Committee, with individual recommendation, attached fiscal notes, and authority for legal services to make technical and conforming changes.
Object for the purpose of discussion?
Okay, object for the purposes of discussion, Representative Mears.
Thank you. I'd just like to make this statement. I'm supportive of ADA providing loans for economic development within the state. I think supporting economic development in the Cook Inlet for the development of natural gas and our energy needs is absolutely appropriate, although the case hasn't been made clear to me why this bill is necessary given the other scope of ADA. So I'm not going to object to passage of this bill, but I just wanted that to be out there that I'm not clear that this really provides any advantages to the program that's already set up within ADA. Thank you. I remove my objection.
Okay, thank you, Representative Mears. And I know that we can answer that question. Mr. Jepson, would you like to answer that question? Or
for the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to Chair McKay. There's currently nothing in statute about any sort of reporting requirement, and we feel that is a very important portion of this bill that ADA is going to actively be looking at potential Cook Inlet projects. In addition to that, the bill also states that ADA can, the interest rates can actually be set below market value, which is not what ADA would normally do, but it might be a consideration by the legislature to say these projects aren't as economical as our normal rate of return. But they are necessary for the state. In addition to that, it is the opinion of Executive Director Randy Raro, who I believe is on the line, that this bill would serve as another tool in their toolbox. And Chair McKay, maybe Director Raro would like to add to that as well.
Actually, I'm not sure he is on the line. Oh, he's over there. I always look at this. Raro, could you... comment on the discussion we were just having. I'd like to have Representative Mears question answered and make sure that she's understanding what we're trying to do.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, this is Brandon Brefshinsky, Deputy Director for ADA. And online, we also have Mark Davis, ADA Counsel. But to answer your question as to why this bill would be necessary, ADA, we have the abilities to finance in the Cook Inlet, which we currently are doing and we have in the past. This is just another tool. It gives ADA some additional options, like if the legislature were to choose to appropriate some funds to this fund, Mr. Jefferson said, we could have the ability to issue a loan that would be below our normal rates, through a legislative appropriation. We've done that in the past, which I believe Mr. Davis has talked about in terms of the IGU, but this bill doesn't hurt. I think it only helps. And we also like the piece that's in there regarding the creation of subsidiaries. Currently, ADA can only create subsidiaries through our 172, our economic development account. And then when the subsidiary statute was passed, it was passed before we had other types of funds, like the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund and SETS. So this cleans that up and allows us to have subsidiaries across all of our funds, which is something that's quite helpful.
Okay, thank you for that. Those comments, Mr. Brzezinski. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly not to the committee, but to members of the public who may be watching, who might be unfamiliar with and therefore potentially unfamiliar with and uncomfortable with the idea of reserve-based lending, the state of Alaska did borrow money based on the oil in the ground after discovery of oil in the North Slope. The state of Alaska did borrow against that as collateral to help. Actually, they'll do a lot of things, but also to prepare the state for the pipeline boom. So it's a tool that Alaska has used in the past. I would also note that this is not an appropriation. It is an empty vessel, an empty bucket, if you will, that we could put money into. There's no obligation to do so, but it's a tool in our toolbox. And I'm glad to see this committee doing as many things as it can do, using every tool available to us to try and address the critical situation we have in Cook Inlet. So we may not need it, but we may be glad we have it.
Thank you, Representative Sadler, and I'm pleased to hear the analogy with the start of Prudhoe Bay. That's an interesting point in history. So is there any further objection to adopting the committee substitute? Okay. Hearing none. Without objection, committee substitute for House Bill 388 Resources is reported from the Resources Committee with individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes, and authority for legal services to make technical and conforming changes. Before I forget, I needed to recognize Senator Myers has joined us like a long time ago. I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Senator Myers. So we'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Brief at ease. Back on the record at House Resources, we now take up House Bill 359, the one-time PFD payment. Bring the bill before the committee. This is a House Resources Committee bill. We have moved the CS with no new amendments. And as I explained during the brief at ease, we have the land portion of this bill has been removed, and therefore it really is no longer a resource-related bill. It really belongs in the House Finance Committee. So, Mr. Representative McCabe, would you I'd entertain a motion unless there's any comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to report the committee substitute for House Bill 359, Work Order 33-LS1292/Bravo from the Resources Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Objection. There's been an objection. Justin, can you please call the roll?
Representative Rusher, absent. Representative Sadler.
Pass.
Representative Wright.
Yes.
Representative Armstrong.
No.
Representative Muir.
No.
Representative Biker. Excuse me, Diver.
No.
Representative McCabe.
Yes.
Representative Baker, absent. And Representative Sadler.
Yes.
And Chair McCabe.
Yes.
Four yeas, three nays.
So on a vote of four yeas and three nays, committee substitute for House Bill 359 Resources is reported from the Resources Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. And we'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Back on the record at House Resources, I want to thank everyone today. I know we had to move kind of quickly because of the delay of the floor, so I really want to thank everyone for their cooperation and attention. Our next committee meeting is Monday, April 8th at 1 p.m. We will be taking up the budget on the floor next week, so I would expect that we'll either be delayed or possibly canceled altogether, but we'll just have to see what happens. So, again, thank you very much. So I will now adjourn us at, what is that, 4:38? 4:35 p.m. We are adjourned.